afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Monday, November 26th, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, Melody, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. I got you pretty loud. Here we go. Let me turn you down a little bit. Just great. How was your turkey day?
Couldn't have been much better.
All right, and I hope all the listeners out there had a great turkey day, and we're going to talk a little bit today about Black Friday, what the online sales did, even though today is Cyber Monday. So I guess it was pretty cold, though, in some areas of the country, so that probably kept a lot of people home, and they probably thought, well, let's just do some shopping online instead of battling the cold. So a lot of cold temperatures across the country. So let's go ahead and bring up the gold prices today. It was a little cold in the gold market today, too. Although not too bad. I mean, it really stayed the same. $1,223, just down a couple cents. We had a high of $1,227, though, earlier in the day. Silver was down 4 pennies at $1,433. The white metals had a big day. Platinum was up $5 at $848, with palladium up $32 at $1,151. Let's see. And I still think the palladium play is really coming from Russia. Of course, there's some tensions over there with Ukraine. I guess Russia has swept up a couple of their ships and has blocked, I believe, some water waterways. And so we'll have to see. Not a whole lot of information truly is being released on that part of the world, so which I find interesting. So that's not going to go away quietly, ladies and gentlemen, even though there's very few news reports talking about it, I believe, at this point in time. Unless Russia gives up their tankers and so forth, I'm not sure what could happen there, Dave. But let's see. So we can talk about that a little bit later on. We have the USDX today, of course, was stronger, 0.14 at 97.05. Crude oil was up 1.17 at 51.59. And the paper markets today, it was a big day for the Dow. It was to be expected. I mean, basically, everyone was gone last week. So with light trading last week, figured it'd be a big day for the stock markets. The Dow was up almost 1.5%, 350 points, 24,640. The NASDAQ was up 142 points, 7,081. And the S&P was up 40 at 2,673. 10-year yield was up 0.02 at 3.07%. Don't really see. Bitcoin took another bath, almost 8% today at 3,638, has lost almost, 80% in a year. Ladies and gentlemen, gold's never done that. So, you know, we might still be waiting for it to go higher, but, you know, gold is real. Bitcoin is nothing. So there's no assets there. People just, they don't even have anything. At least with gold, you still have a gold coin, even if the price goes down. But with Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies, what do you have? You have a sheet of paper or a wallet, a make-believe wallet. You don't even get a real leather wallet that you can carry your cash, your fiat cash around in. I don't mean to make light of that. I know there's a lot of people who have traded a lot of money in Bitcoin, and I know they're feeling the pain. But we do try to warn you. And, you know, we have emotions. You know, fear and greed are the biggest motivators in investments. I get that. You know, and that was part of the cryptocurrencies realm of things, greed. You know, people wanted to get in there, and you know, they wanted to take advantage, particularly when Bitcoin hit 20,000. I mean, it was tempting to ride it up. I don't know very many people who sold. And now you're at this level, and it's the same thing that really happened to mining shares. You know, mining shares ran up. People bought them at the highs. They sank. They sank. That's a new word, Dave. They were demolished. So they get to the point where I can't sell it. I'm waiting for it to come back. And so will they? And even if they do come back some, you know, people are just holding these investments that have very little value. So again, ladies and gentlemen, that's the difference when you buy something that you can actually hold, like gold and silver. You got something real. All your other investments is nothing but paper, promises to pay. And just like your dollar, it's a promise to pay. And so again, we urge you, think about it. Convert those worthless dollars into something that's real. And it'll never go to zero, but a lot of these paper investments will. And if you happen to hold a paper investment that doesn't go to zero, well, you're lucky. And that's what investing is all about. It's gambling and hoping that you have the right ones. If you're not a gambler, get into gold and silver. So we did the markets, we did the paper markets. Let's go ahead and let's talk a little bit about, there was again a couple of, you know, we see what's happening to the, and again, Jimmy Cramer, he's not my, I'm not a fan of his, you know, I don't think he does very well in his little trusts, I guess that's what it is, Dave, his trusts or his, you know, his, what does he have, Dave, that, is it a trust that he always
yeah, he's got a few charitable trusts.
Charitable trusts is what I was trying to think of, and you know, but anyway, he does what he gets paid to do, and he's the consummate bullish guy, and I'm not a fan of, but even he comes out and says this is not a correction, ladies and gentlemen, this is a bear market. And he said he's not using the traditional measures of a bear market and a correction to make his case. He says, who cares about the S&P? It's individual stocks that are down 40 or 50%. And that's what we've been trying to tell you. A bear market is generally defined as an asset or an index decline of 20% or more from recent highs. The threshold for a correction is measured as a drop of 10% or more from recent highs. He says he has tremendous contempt for this market because every time you try to make money with it, it cuts your heart out. That's a bear market. People don't want to call it a bear market, but what do they need?
Huh. Well, little ironic coming from Mr. Bull himself. You know, after tanking close to 4% last week, the S&P recovered nearly a third of that. After today's experience on Wall Street, lifting the index at least temporarily out of correction territory. But, you know, with the Dow bouncing up more than 300 points or 1.5%, you know, the NASDAQ remaining in correction by a few percentage points, Cramer says, you know, people come in at 250 points higher and get their heads cut off. I just feel ashamed. It's very hard to be very positive about the market unless you're an idiot. Let it go up for 3 or 4 days and then sell some. Well, Cramer reiterated that he's been bearish on stocks ever since Fed Chair Jerome Powell said early last month that interest rates were still a long way from neutral. We'll find out in another, 2 weeks, Melody, when the Fed Open Market Committee meets for its December last meeting of 2018.
Aren't they supposed to release some Fed information this week, though? I thought. I'm getting all my dates mixed up. I guess it's too much turkey. But
G20 is...
G20's coming, but I thought the Fed was maybe supposed to release their minutes from last month or...
Maybe.
Something on Wednesday.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, I thought something was going on with the Fed. But Powell's remarks again touched off a market rout on concerns that central bankers will increase rates aggressively next year. And I do have something I'm going to touch on here about credit cards. And I did not know that credit cards rates are at 20-year highs. That's a long time. I just didn't think that their rates, because the 10-year, I mean, is still low considering to where they were 20 years ago. And I thought that the disconnect with credit card rates being at a 20-year high, was kind of interesting.
Now, it just goes to show, how powerful the American Bankers Association is, the Mortgage Bankers Association, the Credit Card Association is in Washington. Helps to build in these usurious, rates, 21, 22 plus percent. That we're going to talk about a little bit later in the program, that are just driving people. In addition to crazy, it's driving them into bankruptcy in some cases, Melody.
Yeah, so and you know what, I've heard this all the time. Well, interest, what's a quarter point rate here and there? It makes a big difference when you're carrying a large amount of debt on those credit cards. And how much do those rates need to rise before it has an impact? And again, a 20-year high. But Cramer last week warned that investors should sell their stocks if they think that the Fed is, as expected, will raise rates in December, Dave.
Yeah, that's true, Melody. But there are never say die diehards, that is, like Tony Dwyer. He's one of Wall Street's biggest bulls, who says now's not the time to turn negative.
Of
Ugh.
course not. Yeah.
This is what we expect. In fact, despite all the signs shining the light on a market on the verge of a cliff dive without a parachute, Dwyer considers it his most important investment advice in this wild market. This is to show how incredible or uncredible some of these folks are. He said last week, "I've been one of the biggest bulls during this entire cycle. I'm going to remain that way until you, one, invert the yield curve, two, shut down credit, and three, the Fed takes us into recession. We're just not there yet." Well, Melody, not yet, maybe, but we're sure getting close in all three of those regards. And the question's got to be for individual investors: do you want to take the chance of, holding on and losing even more than you have over the past few weeks? Or should you plan for the inevitable now and move your assets to the safe havens of gold and silver? Melody, what do you think?
Gold and silver. But you know what? These guys are, and it surprises me that Cramer has taken, but I think in the last recession, Cramer really got hit hard. And I think he's just CYA. Yeah, that's what these guys are going to do. And this Dwyer, he says that the signs that the rally was cracking in early October, and he became one of the street's first strategists to warn investors that a correction was underway. He says corrections happen when there's excessive optimism and low volatility. He said that on October 4th. And those comments were made on a day when the S&P 500 closed at 2,900. Since then, the index has dropped almost 10%. So the S&P is now down 1.54% this year and more than 10% from its intraday record high on September 21st. So he said that this has been one of the nastiest corrections that we've seen just in terms of how sharp the decline has been. And he says we're in retesting those lows. So how could he still be bullish? He's still bullish, even though he says that we're retesting those lows. And
It's just hard to figure out. Some mo most of these high-end analysts, traders, like Cramer and Dwyer have a couple of million dollars of sophisticated compute, quote, sophisticated computer models, as research engines to, formulate some of their projections. These algorithms, call them what you want, these programs are, just as good, or only as good as the people programming them. And, that means, subject to human fallibility. Beyond the technical aspect, there's just, as you mentioned earlier, the CYA portion of it. I mean, these people have lots of clients, lots of constituents or stakeholders. They need to, keep them
Happy.
there, yeah, keep them optimistic, keep them in the ball game. Because as more and more people decide to sell off when they, do see the light, or after, the light starts to dim, it will already have been too late.
Yeah, it will. And they make billions in fees. Just billions of dollars in fees. And you know what's interesting? You're right about their computers and their algorithms and so forth. It would prevent, I don't know if this is true or not, but if you become dependent on a computer telling you how you should trade and what you should do, it kind of takes away your thinking and using any type of common sense to advise your clients. I mean,
And
it
you
takes away your thinking and totally analyzing the quote unquote situation in order to give good advice.
pow.
I mean,
Melody,
they're being dumbed down just as much as the investors are.
you hit it right on the head. And that's the crux of the problem with automated trading. And it's why it shouldn't be allowed. I mean, I don't know how you prevent it. I'm not technical in that aspect of trading whatsoever, but we see how, these particularly the big players in the market, just how their computer models, the algorithms that they base their buys and sells on, their puts and calls, are just taking the market ups and downs to higher and lower peaks and troughs. And it just and what it does is that it's grossly unfair to the vast majority of investors like you and me who don't have, the wherewithal, to have access to that.
And that's why people should buy gold and silver. You don't have to worry about it. You buy it, you put it away, and you wait until we come back from this current break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And we're going to have a little package. I'm going to do the 90% silver. We have some 50-cent pieces coming in, and I'll have that info for you in the next break. It's been, you know, it was... really haven't had too many specials lately, and I was able to get some pretty good deals on some 90% silver 50 cent pieces, so, and some 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles. So that will be the special, and when we come back from the next break, I will give you those prices. So that gives you plenty of time to get your pen and pencils out to and paper, so you can write this down. You know, it's interesting, and here's another sign. Dave, GM is planning to cut, this was a huge story today, is planning to cut the U.S. production in 2019, and not by a little.
Well, you know, they say politics makes strange bedfellows, Melody, and this story has brought together the likes of Governor Kasich of Ohio and President Trump. In Washington, both of whom are really, really mad today. Trump, in fact, says about this story, and I'm quoting him there, "They better well open a new plant there very quickly. I love Ohio. I told them you're playing around with the wrong person." What's he talking about? Well, General Motors announced this morning that it plans to dramatically cut production at a number of plants in the U.S. and Canada next year and reduce its salaried workforce by 15%, all in a massive restructuring that's going to cost up to $3.8 billion. You know, in response, the United Auto Workers vowed to use every legal, contractual, and collective bargaining avenue to fight the changes. The Detroit automaker said plants in Ohio, Michigan, Maryland, and Ontario will be what they call unallocated in 2019, and it will cease operations at two additional plants outside of North America by the end of next year. It's also going to wind down operation at propulsion plants in White Marsh, Maryland, that's outside of Baltimore, and Warren, Michigan. You know, although the decision effectively shuts down those plants, the company stops short of saying that they are actually closing. Shuttering a plan is a matter of negotiation with the UAW.
Trouble there on the horizon, Melody. 15% cut in salaried workers is going to result in a 25% reduction of its executive ranks. GM wouldn't say exactly how many workers would lose their jobs, but it employed 180,000 people as of December 31st, 77,000 of which were salaried. About 51,000 employees were represented by labor unions, including the UAW. So the reorganization is estimated to save about $6 billion a year by the end of 2020. Bob Lutz, who's the GM, former GM vice chairman, said that the automaker historically would have raised sales incentives to try to sell more cars before resorting to plant closures. That's easy for him to say. He's former.
Indeed. Well, he also said, you know, nowadays GM looks at the hard reality, says we've got a demand problem on cars. What are we going to do about it? We have to shut some facilities and move production to truck plants. The largest U.S. automaker has invested heavily in crossovers, SUVs, and trucks as consumer demand has shifted from traditional passenger cars over the last decade. You know, it's a move mirrored by decisions of several other automakers, perhaps most notably Ford and Fiat Chrysler. GM, current GM chair and CEO Mary Barra said in a statement, We recognize the need to stay in front of changing market conditions and customer preferences to position our company for long-term success. Now, Melody, what it's going to do to those communities where those shutdowns are occurring, boy, it's going to be pretty scary for some of those suburban and even semi-rural areas.
Well, what they did say, well, at least, you know, two of the plants that they're shutting down, if I understand correctly, is outside of North America.
Two of them, yeah.
So it's not, so we'll just have to see, you know, if this is temporary permanently or if they're, you know, are just doing the negotiations in order to close. That's what it sounds like, that they're just, once they get the negotiations from the UAW, then they will be announced that they're shutting down those plants. But you know what? It's interesting. It doesn't really make a lot of sense, Dave. I mean, you hear all the time from these, I mean, it's just like, it's the same thing going into 2008 prior to, you saw all these decisions that are made by these, by GM, and I think to myself, who really is managing these places? I mean, they were creating vehicles and so forth knowingly that they were losing money, knowingly they'd never make a profit on it, and I'm thinking to myself, they're setting it up to fail. How hard is it? you don't create a vehicle knowing you're going to lose money. And it was on their, you know, one of their, I can't remember which one it was. I don't know if it was the Cruise or, you know, one of the.
Yeah.
I
believe it was.
And they're stop. And I saw they're stopping the production on that totally. And it's like, why? And this is 10 years later. It doesn't make sense. If they want to compete with foreign automobiles, they need to make a good product at a reasonable cost. Is that so far gone anymore that though they can't do that anymore? Another question is, how much has the tariffs, maybe the steel, has had an impact on the cost of these vehicles anymore, that it's cheaper to shut them down than to make them, because knowing the consumer's not going to pay the additional percentage. I mean, that's just my own thinking there. I don't know, but it's
yeah, we haven't seen those numbers yet. But some of certainly the car bodies, some of the major car parts. I mean, if not having a tremendous impact now, it's certainly got to be built in to their economic projections that are leading to this decision.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just another replay, ladies and gentlemen, of what to expect. And nobody believes it, you know, and everybody thinks this is a great economy. Well, this tells, and how people, consumers, gasoline gets cheap, so you go out and buy trucks. Gasoline rises, you sell your truck and get an economical vehicle. are people that easily influenced by the price of gasoline?
Buy high, sell low. That's what I always say.
You know, I mean,
we're not thinking anymore. And you know, the devil has great advertising. Let's put it that way.
I don't know. It just doesn't. It's like, good grief. It's like we're just, and everyone expects, well, you know, it wasn't that bad in 2008. I was able to recoup everything, so, or at least I'm close to where I was. So, you know, if we go through it again, it'll be okay. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to be okay. There comes a day when it won't be okay. They pulled us out of all these recessions that we've had for the past 30, 40 years by that. Can they do it one more time? Don't know. I guess if you're willing to wait and not do anything about it, I guess you'll find out. But if you want to get ahead of the game and not be part of their game, you know what you have to do. And we said we were going to talk about Black Friday online sales. That's up to record highs. So you had a lot of shoppers that turned to the internet for Black Friday. This was new data that showed Saturday buying everything from apparel to flat screen TVs and spending record amounts in the process. Debt, charging. Black Friday pulled in $6.22 billion in online sales, up 23.6% from a year ago. And that was setting a new high, and that was according to Adobe Analytics. Now, these figures arrived as many retailers have pushed big digital deals days in advance of the holiday weekend. The Friday after Thanksgiving this year was also the first day in history to see more than $2 billion in sales stemming from smartphones. The group found 33.5% of e-commerce sales Friday came from mobile devices compared to 29.1% in 2017. So really, retailers have done their part to build better mobile experiences for consumers and turning nearly 10% more smartphone visitors into buyers this Black Friday versus last, Dave.
Reminds me, Tuesday afternoon, I was at the local Home Depot for a project I'm doing in my basement. And, you know, in not all the aisles, but a good number of the aisles, in the middle of the aisles, were piles, big piles of stuff wrapped in heavy contractor trash bags, you know, with signs saying, you know, please do not peek until Black Friday. And, you know, what's funny from my vantage point is that that's what a couple of people were just doing. They're either with their fingers or in some cases, couldn't tell if it was a penknife or a pocket knife. They were, you know, just looking around and opening tiny slits in the top of the packaging to see what was there and to get, you know, possibly an early in-store start, you know, to the Black Friday experience. It's pretty amazing, but you know, we're hearing time and time again that, you know, buying online, picking up in stores, you know, continues to be a popular option for shoppers, particularly this holiday season, with click and collect orders, as they're known as, you know, orders up 73% from Thursday to Friday. Now, Target, Kohl's, and Walmart are just a few of the companies that have been touting, you know, that option this year, hoping that when customers arrive to pick up their items, they'll buy more. Meanwhile, shoppers were seen buying more big-ticket items like appliances, furniture, and bulkier electronics, you know, from their phones on Black Friday, with average order values up 8.5% from last year. Or I guess that's $146 on average. You know, earlier in the week, online sales on Thanksgiving Day itself totaled almost $4 billion. I guess people were having late Thanksgiving dinners, Melody. That's up 28% from a year ago, making it the fastest growing day for e-commerce sales ever. Thanksgiving also saw $1 billion in sales from smartphones, with shoppers spending 8% more online on Thanksgiving compared with 1 year ago. Jeez.
And you know what? There were reports, you know, the shopping malls, of course, the traffic was lighter than in past years, but the weather on Black Friday was very cold. I mean, there was some, it was a bitterly cold Thanksgiving, and record lows in many areas of the country. So I'm not sure if that played a part for the increase in online sales. I mean, I needed something to buy online today, and I actually waited until today, but I'm not so sure if I would have done it on Friday, because I'm thinking, oh, Cyber Monday, there'll be good deals.
Yeah, right.
But I don't think so. You know, I think they already might have had the deals. So I'll have to find out to see if I get any additional something for my doggie. But anyway, Kohl's said it had a record day for online sales this Thursday. Cyber Monday is today. We'll get these numbers out tomorrow. So they're expecting online sales to hit a record. And U.S.-China trade tensions. We'll see what happens after G20. There's a lot of global economists, and one in particular, Marie Owens Thompson, believes that the U.S. and China trade tensions are going to continue after the meeting. Congress has given executive authority to the president to negotiate without necessarily asking the Congress each and every time. And as long as that sort of delegated power sits with the president, I feel it will continue to be a theme as we go forward. Thompson said a trade agreement between the U.S. and China is essential to the world economy. I didn't agree when they gave Obama the ability to negotiate. I don't agree with giving the President Trump the ability to do all this negotiating without Congress. I might be wrong. You know, I might be looking at it different. I don't think any president should be given this authority, executive authority, without asking Congress.
I'm with you.
You know? So, you know, it was wrong when they gave authority to Obama, I guess, to negotiate with TPP and Iran. Look where that got us. So, no, it's wrong. It's wrong. I don't care who the president is. The G20 finance leaders are supposed to discuss global policies in the Argentine capital of Buenos Aires this Friday and Saturday. And, of course, the trade tariffs is the major issue that will be discussed.
Yeah, we know that the U.S. duties are set to increase to 25% on January 1st. Trump's also threatened to impose duties on $267 billion more of goods if Beijing does not adhere to our demands. This would mean duties on almost all of China's exports to the U.S. Most listeners know, the U.S. wants Beijing to cut subsidies and improve market access to U.S. firms, as well as to help bridge a $375 billion trade gap. And, you know, the lingering tensions between the two countries have increased amid worries over continued money supply tightening by the Federal Reserve. And that story is sure going to come to the forefront over the next 10 days to 2 weeks, Melody.
And we're heading into a break right now. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trade. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
One more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies. Listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Yes, it's the time of the year where Melody gets her allergies and gets the little cough. But I need to move back to Arizona, and got lots of clients in Arizona, and I particularly want to say hello to Clark today.
Hi, Clark.
Yes, and I miss Arizona and never had an allergy problem. That's why originally was one of the reasons why I moved away from Pennsylvania. Anyway, that's enough of me. Told you I'd tell you about a special, and our little package is the $25 face value of 90% silver and, of course, a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. This includes your shipping cost. $445. $445. If you purchase more than one package, we'll reduce your cost per package by $10. So that's a pretty good deal for you to buy. So you'd be looking, well, can I do that? No, I can't do $435. I can do $10. So instead of package being $445, it'd be $435 if you purchase two or more. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. The package is $25 face value, 90%. These are 50-cent pieces, a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, and the total package is $445. That includes your shipping costs, but if you purchase two, we'll reduce each the packages by $10, and they would be $435. 800-375-4188. The Fed is going to overhaul approval process of medical devices. The FDA is going to overhaul the most common way medical device manufacturers bring their products to market in an attempt to advance new technologies. And since 1976, manufacturers have been able to pursue an expedited approval process if they could prove new products were substantially equivalent to those that were grandfathered in when Congress established the pathway known as the 510K. So that means that some new products entering the markets are comparing themselves to technology that's decades old. Oh boy, isn't this grand?
Did I hear a Freudian slip there?
Is this grand?
I know. This announcement comes after, you know, a group of news outlets over the weekend published scathing investigations into medical device failures and how the FDA's accelerated review process may have missed problems and put consumers at risk. You know, FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb said, you know, what we want to do is constantly push the market toward incorporating better technology and better capabilities by advancing the predicates and always looking forward. You know, Gottlieb has pushed regulations that are meant to encourage industry to act. It looks like this latest one is no different.
Well, you know, just a comment to that, and we're going to talk about gold and, you know, Goldman Sachs saying that the gold and other commodities could surge. I'm trying to get Rob West on the program. He's supposed to let me know when he can, and he's becoming involved with working with the medical profession. I'm not a fan of collecting DNA and sending it off to get your ancestors and all. I'm not a fan of that because they can resell your DNA if you read the fine print. But he's working with, and he's done it himself, to where the number of deaths because of the improperly prescribed medications and the in your body, your rejection of certain medications and you know that your body to absorb it all comes down to your DNA. And he's getting involved in the DNA to show what a medication can do and how your body would accept it. And his doctor actually, because of this test that he went through, his doctor actually changed his medications due to the test showing how his body would absorb it. And it was kind of interesting and fascinating. And a lot of your doctors don't know about it. They don't do it. They choose the lazy way out. And just, you know, so when you hear these things, so I'm going to try to get him on and he can talk a little bit more about that. So hopefully we can get him on maybe this week or next week.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. And I was aware of these, you know, you should, your DNA should tell you what, you know, how it can accept things and absorb things. So, and they don't resell it, which gives you the privacy that, well, they're not supposed to sell it now. But anyway, Goldman Sachs, just this morning, and they said this a month ago too, it talks about commodities that they could surge about 17% over the next coming months, Dave.
Keeps going up. You know, Goldman Sachs analyst said this morning that commodities could surge around 17% over the coming months, you know, with fast approaching G20th meeting this coming weekend cited as a potential launch pad for raw materials. You know, as we know, a dramatic sell-off in commodities comes at a time when traders are closely monitoring a flurry of market drivers. So far this month, for example, oil prices have collapsed on intensifying oversupply concerns. Metals have fallen amid worries over slowing economic growth, and investors continue to, you know, be bummed about the ongoing trade war between the world's two largest economies. The report... which was published this morning, said that given the size of dislocations in commodity pricing relative to fundamentals, with oil now having joined metals and pricing below cost support, we believe commodities offer an extremely attractive entry point for longs in oil, gold, and base. Melody.
Well, that would take gold up to 1430, just that 17%. But ladies and gentlemen, we know gold and silver are going to go much higher than the 17%, more so than, and again, with inflation and everything, I mean, these are just, it's the perfect opportunity to buy low and sell high. Not the other way around that so many of us get into, where you buy high and sell low, like cryptos. You want to buy low and sell high. And, you know, we've seen oil, both Brent and the U.S. WTI are down more than 20% this month. And unless they recover further throughout the trading week, the monthly loss would mark their biggest fall in more than 10 years, Dave. And so and we got to remember, too, that if oil continues to drop, it has a big impact on our oil market over here and our shale market. And so you got to be careful what you ask for. And there's a lot of workers, Dave, they're looking for a second job.
Excuse me. It turns out, Melody, that a sizable minority of American workers are looking for an extra gig to make ends meet. And younger workers especially are trying to supplement their meager earnings. Now, those are the findings of several surveys, which conclude that millions of workers in the U.S. moonlight. According to the survey by Bankrate.com, one in four Americans have a side hustle. And that includes about half of all millennials. That's the age group. I think they're, 18 to 25? Is that what that is? That's a big number. It's actually age 24 to 35. Is off about a decade. Freelancers, says another employment group, are now a major force in the economy, and employers have to understand the clerk they hired will have to get another job during the work week. Yeah, the freelance economy has grown to include 55 million Americans. That's 35% of the total U.S. workforce.
Yeah, that really is incredible. Men on average make about $1,000 a month from their side hustle, while women bring home about $360. Why is that? $1,000 versus $360. See, you men always have it easier than we do.
Yeah, I know. That'd be interesting. It's not right. I'm you can come up with all sorts of reasons.
Well,
I'm
we know
guilty by association. I'm sorry.
Consumer credit card debt now over $1 trillion, and we know that the Federal Reserve has hiked the interest rate 3 times in 2018. They can do it again next month. And so again, we talked about this earlier in the program. Any of the people who carry a large credit card balance means higher finance charges. Heading into the holiday shopping season, the Consumer Federation of America warns consumers to keep interest rates in mind, while pointing out that the current average rate on credit cards is at its highest point in nearly 20 years. Each time the Fed hikes the federal funds rate, it goes even higher. As interest rates have risen, financing holiday purchases with credit cards has grown more expensive. So those with high credit card debt levels should be particularly cautious about increasing their debt during the holiday season, Dave.
Yeah, just one quick epilogue on that. We know that both credit card debt and interest rates have been rising together. The Fed reports that outstanding revolving credit rose from $855 billion in 2013 to $1 trillion in August of this year. Some of that gets paid off at the end of each month, but much of it accumulates in the larger credit card balances. So, it ain't cheap, folks. The best way to avoid having to deal with this issue in the first place is, yes, avoid or at least minimize your credit card and other consumer debt.
Yes, absolutely. We talked about this, I think it was a couple months ago, maybe prior to the elections, heading into the elections, where Trump had said he'd wanted each of his cabinet heads to cut their budget by 5 or 10%. I'm not quite sure of the percentage, Dave. So President Trump is back to cutting deficit.
Yeah, it's true. Even as he tries to implement, or at least they're talking about pricey programs like this infrastructure package that some people think should or will be in excess of $1 trillion. I don't know. The 2010 Tea Party wave that propelled many budget-cutting Republicans to power in Washington was prompted by the increased federal spending and concerns of big government that have long been central issues to and for the GOP. But, Trump's seeming contradictions reflect how conflicted the party has come. That contradiction about, let's focus on the deficit, but, let's still consider pricey programs. That's what that's talking about. But that's even as the Congressional Budget Office said earlier this year, as we reported, that the deficit will approach $1 trillion by the end of 2019's fiscal year, which ends September 30th, 2019.
But, Dave, he says that funding for Medicare and Social Security, two of the government's most expensive entitlement programs, is going to remain untouched. He also suggested that some areas, including the military, might be curtailed slightly, meaning not touched. These are the two biggest programs, entitlements, and military. So how can you cut anything significant from what's left? There isn't any, infrastructure spending. I mean, there's not a whole lot more that can be cut to make any significant difference. And we only have until December 7th. And I wonder if they're not going to use the border closing if the government doesn't come to an agreement to fund on December 7th. So it seems like December 7th is the key date.
I'm going to call, I think, call for the establishment of a national public service lottery. And we'll call it the U.S. 50-50. Be similar to, you know, the multi-million, $100 million plus, several hundred million, in fact, $1 billion. And we'll do this every few months. And the winner will get 50%, and the other 50% will go to pay down the debt. Because, Melody, I think that's the only way that's ever going to happen. Something as ludicrous as a national lottery earmarked for debt reduction, because I certainly don't believe our elected leaders just have the capacity, the discipline, the ability to negotiate, to think in terms of the public, national public interest. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, it's but the thing of it is, government has to continue to spend to keep the system going. And it really is that simple. They can't cut back.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point that, yeah, you know, the way to deficit reduction is probably, if it ever is out there, is going to have to come from some revenue source.
The only reduction in the deficit is going to be by default.
More to the point.
Yeah, it's going to be done by default.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to touch on, we're running out of time here, is the Russian seizes the Ukrainian ship. Oh, man.
Guess,
we'll just have to bring it tomorrow. And thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow. I will be with Butch Holmes. Until then, stay good night and God bless.
Bye-bye.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.